Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the deeply moving story of an enduring friendship and a bitter hate. An erotic drama played by Grandma and the Seagull. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. And that's why, when you're looking for distinctive greeting cards, it's wise to look for Hallmark cards. For in Hallmark cards, you'll find the beauty and charm of fine design. Heartwarming color used with the greatest of care and good taste. And, what's even more important, you'll always find a Hallmark card will say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So remember always to look on the back of the cards you buy for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. They're your assurance of finest quality. Tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And now, to preside over our program, here is your Hallmark host, Tom Shirley.
Thank you, Dan Donaldson, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have a rather unusual kind of mystery story tonight. It's a mystery of a woman's heart. Not a woman of fame and glamour, but an everyday kind of woman with faded apple cheeks and clear blue eyes and duster in her hand. The kind of woman you and I might call Grandma. Incidentally, one of my favorite radio actresses is to play her part. Her name, Evelyn Barton. And right here with her is a fine cast of talented players. I promise you a rich and rewarding half hour as the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you tonight's great story on the Reader's Digest radio edition, Grandma and the Seagull.
Dear Seagull, if I were to tell you what you mean to me, what it means to be able to tell somebody every secret trouble I've ever had in all my long and useless life.
That's Grandma Dixon writing to Seagull. You'll find out why she's called Seagull when Grandma tells you. But meanwhile, you've guessed that Seagull is Grandma's best friend, and you're right. Even though Grandma Dixon and Seagull have never met. Curious? Well, let's hear Grandma's explanation. She's explaining to Louise, her granddaughter, who has just come to stay here for the summer.
I've told you whom I'm writing to, child. Seagull.
I know, Grandma, but that can't be anybody's real name.
Of course not. But it's the name I know her by. Just as she knows me by the name of Arbutus.
Arbutus? Oh, but Grandma, how can you send letters to each other if you don't know what name to put on the envelope?
Did you ever read the Boston Chronicle? Your father takes that paper, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, there's a department on the woman's page of that paper, composed of letters from readers. If you have a problem, you write a letter to the paper, only you don't sign your own name.
Oh, I know. Then other ladies who had the same problem write in and tell you how they solved it. I've seen those letters.
Well, do you know, sometimes those ladies keep up a friendship for years. The Chronicle forwards the letters, and the ladies never know each other's names.
And that's how it is with you and Seagull?
That's how it is with me and Seagull. Now, you go out and play.
Okay. I'm going next door.
You're going where?
Next door to the Wilcoxes to play with Tommy.
Tommy?
Uh-huh. Mrs. Wilcox's nephew. Didn't you know he's visiting her?
I don't know, and I don't care who visits Mrs. Wilcox. How'd you get to know her, anyway?
I didn't get to know her. I haven't met her yet. I've only met Tommy, her nephew. I've been playing with him.
We don't speak to the Wilcoxes.
What do you mean?
I mean you're not to play with Tommy or whatever his name is.
But Grandma!
I mean it. I haven't spoken to Mrs. Wilcox for 15 years, and she's not going to get around me by having some no-good nephew of hers to play with you. Do you understand?
Yes, Grandma.
All right. Now, run out and play.
All right. I'll play. But who? Where?
Playing with, Andy.
I don't know, and I
don't care, Tommy, but you're not to play with that girl next door.
Well, gee whiz, why not?
Because her grandmother is the worst person I know.
Well, maybe so, but Louise is all right.
She's her grandmother's granddaughter, and that's enough for me. Now, you are not to play with her.
Well, all right.
What if I can't play with her? Will you play cards with me?
Later, Tommy, later. You go out and play now. I'm busy.
All right.
But I still don't know why I can't speak to Louise.
Oh, dear. Dear Arbutus, your last letter was such a comfort to me. I carried it with me for 2 days before I finally pasted it in the scrapbook with all your other letters. I thank you for it, my dear.
Did your aunt say?
No.
I wonder if they know themselves after 15 years.
Gosh, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? Not remembering why you hated somebody.
That's the way it is with a feud. I read that someplace.
Say, look, Louise. We might be caught talking to each other here.
I know.
Let's go up back where the gardens are. They won't be able to see us up there. And we won't even have to stay on different sides of the fence if we don't want to.
All right, let's go.
Louise?
Oh. Yes, Grandma.
You come right to this house this minute. Bobby!
All right, Eddie, I'm coming.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Shaw. Come in, won't you?
No, thank you. I'm on my way downtown, but I just wanted to talk to you about the Ladies' Aid election.
Oh, are we having an election?
Of course we are. We do every year at this time.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, who do you want me to vote for?
It's not who, it's what.
What do you mean?
Well, some of us have been thinking about our Ladies' Aid program. We feel that we do a great deal of charitable work, but not nearly enough cultural work.
So, the program this year calls for more culture?
In a way. If the right candidates get in, we feel we can have 2 extra food sales, and with the proceeds, hire lecturers.
That sounds like a very good idea.
Then you're with us?
I suppose so.
Good. I wanted to tell you about our program first, because it's the program that counts. Don't you agree that the candidates make very little difference?
Is there something behind that remark?
Why, no.
Is Mrs. Wilcox running for something?
Yes.
For what?
President.
Well, why didn't you tell me this instead of beating around the bush with your talk about lecturers?
Frankly, because I know how you feel about Mrs. Wilcox, and I wanted to have you accept our program first.
I'll accept the best program offered.
But there can't be any program better than our cultural program.
We'll see about that. Goodbye, Mrs. Shaw.
Before it is the election of a president for the coming year. The nominating committee has named Mrs. Wilcox. What is your pleasure?
Madam Chairman, I nominate Mrs. Dixon.
That's quite entirely irregular.
Well, it may be irregular, but it's legal. I nominate Mrs. Dixon.
Well, in 20 years of the Ladies' Aid, I've never seen the nominating committee's selection questioned before.
I'm questioning it now. I nominate Mrs. Dixon.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Mrs. Wilcox. I think anybody can see, Madam Chairman, that this nomination is being made out of spite. I'm sure everybody here realizes that Mrs. Dixon has got her friend to nominate her just to spite me, since I am the choice of the nominating committee.
The nominating committee named me for your next president because I had an idea that they approved of. I felt that the Ladies' Aid could run 2 extra food sales each year, and that the proceeds could go to pay for a cultural program. Lecturers who could speak to us about books and paintings and things like that. That's my platform, and the nominating committee apparently approves of it. And if you want to vote for a spiteful person, I suggest you ask her what her platform is.
Well, now, just a moment. Just a moment, ladies. The only official nomination that I have is the one handed to me by the nominating committee. The nomination of Mrs. Wilcox.
Wait a minute. I nominated Mrs. Dixon.
I know. But nobody has seconded that.
Are there any seconds?
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Mrs. Dixon.
I second my own nomination.
I'm not sure that you can do that, Mrs. Dixon.
Yes, I can. I thought something like this would happen, so I looked it up in the bylaws before I came here, and I found I could second a nomination of my...
You see, Mrs. Wilcox seems to think she's the only one with a platform. She asked you to ask me what my platform is, thinking that will embarrass me. Well, thanks alive, I'm not embarrassed. I welcome the chance to tell you how selfish her program is and what a much better one I've got. Mrs. Wilcox offers you culture. She wants you to get a lot of intelligent sissies to come in from the city and lecture to us about what we ought to think about a lot of books that there isn't one of us has any intention of reading. All right, if that makes you feel cultured, go to it, provided. There's no better way to spend the money. But there is a better way. Now, I have here the report of the playground director of our town, and he says, and I've checked him up to see that he's telling the truth, and he is, he says that the playgrounds need nearly $2,000 worth of equipment more than the town can provide for them. I propose that we use our extra money to get that equipment for the children of this town. Your children, my grandchildren, and even Mrs. Wilcox's nieces and nephews. Well, there you are. Mrs. Wilcox wanted to know my platform. I've given it to you. I stand on that platform, and I expect to be elected on that platform. Thank you.
Tommy, what's the matter with you? Why don't you answer me?
I'll answer you just this once. I'm through with you, Louise.
Why, Tommy? What did I do to you?
It's what your grandmother did to my aunt.
What did she do?
She pulled a dirty trick and cheated her out of being president of the Ladies' Aid. That's what she did.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Well, if you want to know, your aunt was going to spend the Ladies' Aid money selfishly, and my grandmother was against that.
Sure, that's what your grandmother tells you.
Yes, and I believe it.
Okay. Okay, just don't come over to this fence and call for me again.
Don't worry.
We'll be back in a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. Now, let's listen in on Grandpa and Peg tonight.
Who was your little visitor this afternoon, Peg?
That was Margie.
Well, when she came in, she had a red box under her arm. Must have been awful precious. She wouldn't put it down for a second.
Oh, of course not. She had a whole collection of Hallmark dolls in there.
Oh, that explains what you were doing out on the back porch all afternoon.
Yes, we had a tea party, and we invited all our Hallmark dolls. Then we took turns reading the stories inside. We had so much fun.
And the Hallmark dolls certainly make the afternoons fly by, don't they, Peg?
Oh, yes, Grandpa. I never get tired of playing with them.
Yes, Hallmark dolls are fun for the youngsters, fun for you to send. Every youngster loves them, wants to collect the entire set. They're the newest kind of greeting cards you can send for any and every occasion throughout the year. But more, they're the gayest, brightest dolls imaginable, straight from the land of make-believe. There's Pretty Miss Muffet, Cinderella, Boy Blue, and all the other Hallmark dolls. They all have bright plumes in their hats, stand up by themselves, look as pretty from the back as the front. Then inside each Hallmark doll, there's a modern version of a familiar nursery story, now told in rollicking rhyme. See these fascinating new Hallmark dolls. Buy one every week for every child you'd like to please. They're only 25 cents. Buy Hallmark dolls, where you buy your Hallmark cards. Now, back to Grandma and the Seagull.
Dear Arbutus, it was very wise of us to agree not to say anything in these letters about any present-day situations that may bother us. about only about things in our past lives that have either made us happy or made us sad. But right now, I am mad clear through with something that has happened. I'm going to keep our rules. I'm not going to tell you about it. Except to say that there is a woman in my town who is an enemy of mine. She has done something mean to me. That's all I'll say about it. But it has troubled me greatly. And it helps to write just this little bit to you about it.
Dear Seagull, I hope I can be of some comfort to you in your quarrel with this nasty woman. I, too, have to live near a disagreeable person who has been a sore trial to me. But you're right. We shouldn't write about disagreeable things. I liked your recipe for Indian pudding. Here's my recipe for angel food cake. Take the whites of 1 dozen eggs.
Yes, Addie? Come here, Tommy. How would you like a piece of angel food cake?
Oh, very much.
Well, here you are.
Mm. This is swell.
And here's some milk to go with it.
Thanks, Addie. Oh, but where's yours?
I don't want any, Tommy.
You're not feeling well, are you, Addie?
So I'm all right.
No, I can tell.
No, Tommy, now just because I was sick yesterday.
You know, I think you ought to stay in bed for one whole day, Addie.
Who would do all the things that have to be done?
Well, all right. You know how you feel, I guess. Gee, this cake sure is swell.
Yes. I got the recipe from Arbutus, that woman I write to.
I think that's awful funny. You write to a woman, you don't know her name or where she lives or anything.
I suppose it does seem funny to other people. It does to me sometimes. Sometimes I'd like awfully much to know who Arbutus is and where she lives.
Hello, Grandma. Writing?
That's a fool question. Can't you see I'm writing?
Oh, I'm sorry, Grandma.
Oh, I didn't mean to be short with you, Louise. It's just that I'm worried.
Worried?
Yes. Seagull hasn't written to me for weeks now.
Well, Jean, maybe she just got tired of not knowing who you are, where you live, or anything.
Oh, no, Louise. Seagull is my very best friend, and I am hers.
Well, I suppose you're right.
Of course I'm right. That's why I don't understand how it is that Seagull could have stopped writing to me. In fact, I know she didn't stop. I just don't like to face the truth.
What do you mean?
Seagull is sick.
Oh, maybe not.
I know she's sick. She told me in the last letter she did write to me that nobody knew it, but she'd been ailing for some time.
Why didn't she tell anybody?
She didn't have the kind of neighbors who'd help her out. You run along, clean your room. I'm going to answer the door.
All right.
Well, Mrs. Shaw.
Hello, Mrs. Dixon. May I come in?
Of course.
Thank you.
Now, I think you'll find that chair comfortable.
Thank you. I've come, of course, to see you about what's happened.
What's happened? What do you mean?
About Mrs. Wilcox.
What about Mrs. Wilcox?
You haven't heard?
No. Heard what?
Mrs. Wilcox died this noontime.
What?
Quite true. It was very sudden. She hadn't been looking well, but she never said that she was sick. And then, well, this noon
I'm very sorry. There's no need of pretending. Mrs. Wilcox and I were friends. We weren't. But I'm very sorry to hear this about her.
She was a great friend of mine.
I know.
Well, Mrs. Dixon, I came to see you because of the delicacy of the situation.
Delicacy?
Yes. I wanted to offer, as the past president of the Ladies' Aid, to go to Mrs. Wilcox's house in your place. We can say that you're indisposed. Everybody will understand, I'm sure.
What do you mean?
I mean that as president of the Ladies' Aid, it's up to you to call on the bereaved family.
Of course.
But naturally, you won't want to, so I'll go in your place.
And why won't I want to?
Why, because you and Mrs. Wilcox didn't speak.
That's true, but I'm going to her house now. And I'm not going only as president of the Ladies' Aid. I'm going as a neighbor. And I'm going right now. You're sorry and stick close by me. That's all, Louise. Here, I'll knock again.
Hello?
How do you do? You're Mrs. Wilcox's sister Ellen, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, I'm Mrs. Dixon from next door.
Oh, you're the one who...
Who didn't speak to your sister. Yes, I'm that one. And now I've come to say I'm sorry for your trouble. This is my granddaughter, Louise. She's sorry, too.
Oh, yes, I am. Very sorry. I know your son, Tommy.
Well, I thank you both very much.
We want to help. We know how it is with the cleaning and all at a time like this.
Yes, but you of all people, I shouldn't think...
I know, but just look at me. I wore my percale apron so you'd know I meant it. What needs cleaning?
Right now, the front room.
All right. Come on, Louise. Let's get us that front room. I'm going to be ready for those dusters in a minute, Louise. You through with them? Louise, are you through with the dusters?
What? Oh, I'm sorry, Grandma. I was interested in these things.
Reading something of somebody else's, haven't you been taught better than that?
Oh, I wasn't reading. I was just looking at the handwriting.
Oh,
I was, Grandma. That's all I was doing. And it is strange about this handwriting.
What is?
It's just like yours.
I don't imagine Mrs. Wilcox had a hand like mine.
Oh, these things aren't written by Mrs. Wilcox. They're written to her. This is a scrapbook with letters that... Grandma.
What is it?
Grandma, this letter starts off... It starts off... Dear Seagull.
What?
Yes, Grandma.
Let me see that scrapbook. Give it here. Dear Seagull, if I were to tell you what you mean to me, what it means to be able to tell somebody every secret trouble I've ever had. Seagull.
Here, Grandma, sit down.
I need to sit down. Mrs. Wilcox. What Seagull?
Oh, Grandma. Grandma, don't cry.
My best friend lived next door all these years. And I wouldn't speak to her.
Don't cry, Grandma. Don't.
All right. Remember something, Louise. People may be mean and small and sly. But if you'll take 10 paces to the left and look again, with the light falling from a different angle, you'll see they're generous and warm and kind. I've just learned that, Louise. Too late.
Grandma, is there anything I can do for you?
Yes, dear, yes. Go find Tommy and go outside and play with him.
Tommy, but why don't we speak to Tommy?
I know, Louise. That's the way it's been. But it's going to be different. You're going to play with that boy, Louise. And I? Well, it's too late for me to speak to my best friend. But I can stay here and clean her room.
And the entire cast. That was a story that went right to the heart. And because it put me in a sentimental sort of mood, I'd like to read something I ran across recently in the Reader's Digest. A few lines that made me think of a town I knew as a kid and folks like Grandma. It's called Endurance by Eon Steen Kaufman. I like the rugged things of earth, a gnarled old oak, wind-lashed unbent, a granite cliff of age-old birth, the sea whose strength is never spent. I like the rugged ones of earth, who go life's way with heads unbowed, mature in wisdom, spiced with mirth, buffeting the years, dauntless, proud.
Folks, don't let another day pass by without making some youngster happy with Hallmark dolls. They're a sure kind of surprise, a sure way to make a hit. Send Hallmark dolls by mail or take one every week to the youngsters you love. They're only 25 cents, so see them soon, send them often. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy your Hallmark card.
This is Tom Shirley inviting you to be with us again next week. At that time, you will hear the true and completely delightful story of a captivating teenaged explorer who took a trip across America. You'll travel the breadth of the land with him, share his misfortunes and his fun. From the moment he starts the motor of his ancient jalopy, straight through to the climax of this gaily hilarious adventure. Another fine dramatic program presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards.
Senadella from the story by Louise Dickinson Rich as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb with music especially composed by Jack Miller. And this is Dan Donaldson speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy Hallmark cards. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Herbert Marshall in The Man Called X, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.